Our reading for today begins in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon and wage war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on that stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. So these two churches that we looked at today, Smyrna and Pergamum. Now Smyrna was one of the easternmost cities out of all these that are mentioned, and it was a town along the coast, so that probably had a lot of trade going through it. It was quite a populous town, especially for the time period. Some estimate as much as 200,000 people living in this city. It was considered to be an academic community. In other words, there were lots of educational institutions there. And it was a wealthy city. It's said that there was a street of gold within this city that had idolatrous temples on each end of it. And so that gives us a little background about the city itself. But what Jesus says to them, first of all, starting out, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life, there's again that emphasis on the one who is in control, the one who is all-powerful. That is Jesus and then God the Father. And so that emphasis is important because you need to know who's speaking to you. The church knows who's speaking to them. It's their Savior and their God. Verse 9, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. So this kind of paints a bleak picture of the area, talking about here being, there being a synagogue of Satan and the tribulation that they're about to undergo. So even though this was probably a good city to live in by living standards, then there was a problem. The problem was the area tended to go toward that idolatry and was going to produce some tribulation for those that are of the faith, those that are believers. He mentions also the slander of the Jews, or rather those that say they are Jews. And so there's this picture being presented of the tribulation they go against, and part of that is those that should believe in the Christ, those that should have been looking for the Messiah, they don't. And we've seen this problem all the way back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Those Jews that had an interest, or maybe they took notice, but they weren't believers. They weren't looking for the Messiah. And as soon as he didn't fit what they were looking for, then they rejected him. And not only did they reject him all the way up through this time, they're continuing to stir up problems and troubles. We saw that working through our way through the book of Acts with Paul, about how they just followed him around, just trying to cause trouble everywhere they went. They would slander, they would lie, they would bear false witness, and it just kept going and going. And so it is still going. Regarding these Jews, I would point you toward Paul's words in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. No one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. And so those that were truly God's people is what he's describing. And there's, you know, there's those that claim to be and aren't. Those, and there are those that are and don't have to make a claim because it's evident. And so Jesus says those that are slandering and say that they are Jews, they're not only not Jews, he calls them a synagogue of Satan. And that's very strong words. And it's there to illustrate that if you're not truly for Jesus, then you're against him. And that's what he's saying. You know, they claim to be Jews, but they're of Satan. And Satan is the opposition of God. It is sin versus righteousness. So it becomes clear that he's saying that they are completely opposed to God. And so he tells him in verse 10, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. The devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested." So this tribulation is going to go so far as to begin to imprison them, but they needed to stay strong. Now he says that they may be tested and for 10 days will have tribulation. I don't think it's a literal 10 days, but it's going to mean that it's going to be some period of time. Some even say that it was 10 rulers that they would have to live through during this time. And so whatever the case, it's just an illustration to tell them that it's going to last a while, but there will be an end to it. And he says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Don't shrink back. Don't falter. Keep pushing forward. And Smyrna is one of the few churches listed in these seven, one of two, I think, that didn't have anything against them. Jesus doesn't mention anything he has against them. So this was an encouraging letter to Smyrna, despite what they're going through. Then Pergamum. Pergamum wasn't really a center of academia like Smyrna was, but they did hold a very large Roman library in that city. And there was a big altar to Zeus there. There were three temples to the emperor. So definitely an idolatrous city here as well. It's interesting that the beginning of this section is written differently. Ephesus and Smyrna both started off with an emphasis on the deity of the one writing, Jesus. But here in Pergamum, it says the words of him who has the two-edged sword. So the emphasis is more on the word here than it is on the deity of the one speaking. Now, it's not saying that there's any sort of a denial of the deity, but it's very similar to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 when he says, you know, this sharp two-edged sword. Verse 13, "I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name and you did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you." So he says the area is terrible. There's lots of people that are following sin, so much so that one of my faithful was killed there. And that would have been terribly distressing to the church, for one to be killed for their faith. And it's a commendation to them to say, you didn't shrink back even in the midst of that, even when that happened. So this idolatrous pagan city had killed one of their own, and they remained faithful. But in verse 14, he says, "But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality." Again, trying to identify exactly this group of people, whether we're talking verse 15 of the Nicolaitans here, of those, the teaching of Balaam, it doesn't really matter. The idea is that these are false ideas. They are false teachings. And if you go back and look at them, they are similar words, translation for both, meaning destroyer of the people. So the idea is, you know, these false ideas, they can destroy the people, they can destroy the faith, and they can destroy your salvation because you fall prey to them. Don't fall prey to them. And that's what's happening here. "I have a few things against you. There are some that hold the teachings of Balaam." And then verse 15, "Some who hold the teachings of the Nicolaitans." The only teachings we need to be following are the teachings of Christ. He is the head of the church. He is the Savior of all of us. He is the Savior of the body. And we need to be faithful to Him. He's the one that has life. He's the one that's offering life. Why would we fall prey to the teachings of anyone or anything else? Verse 16, the answer to this is to repent. That's always the answer to sin. I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. Well, and now we're talking about the word again. Verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Speaking of hidden manna, it's just one of his figurative ways of describing the spiritual nourishment that we would receive from our Lord and Savior, a spiritual nourishment that would help us when we turn away from this paganism that he's talking about. The idea of the stone and the new name, it's not completely clear what those are. As I told you when we started out in the book of Revelation, that I'm not going to try to explain to you every little thing. But I think we can tie it back to this verse 16 saying, therefore, repent. And so he would give the hidden manna to sustain the soul. And then the stone would be like an award. I think the idea is that you might get a plaque, something the way we would think of a plaque, you know, in recognition of some achievement. Maybe it's you win some competition or some race. Some even say that in that era and culture that something like that would have been given to someone who was acquitted of a crime, something to show that proved that they were not guilty of what maybe everybody thought they were guilty of. And that would fit with the idea of repentance. And the new name was probably the new name Christian, to be a child of God. Again, I can't say 100% on things like this when they're figurative, but I do know that those that he was writing to at the time, they understood these things, and it would have been clear to them. All right, that will conclude our reading for today. We'll start in verse 18 on our next reading. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.